I always say I don't want to influence, I want to inspire. And at the end of the day, if I can just touch one person and change, or, you know, help change the perspective or mindset of one person, if I can be a guiding light to one person, that's one person out there in that world who can probably change masses. And if I was able to do that and help in that, be an instrument in that, then I did my part. When all is, play my cards right. I'll be anti-one, blackjack all night. Roll the dice, let it ride.
Water me up like a snake. So where are you right now? What city are you in?
I'm in Brooklyn, New York.
You're in Brooklyn, New York. You went to Albany, right?
Yes, I did. Ah, you did your research.
I did. Well, I'm from Buffalo, New York.
Oh, nice.
So I'm on the other side originally. Yeah.
Okay. The cold, cold, cold side.
Cold. Yeah. Western New York. They people in New York City don't consider Buffalo part of New York State. It's funny. But the Bills are the only team that play in the state of New York. So I don't know.
Yeah. It's some respect there. But I mean, y'all are still too far to be considered.
It's far
New
and
York.
Cold. Yeah. I know. Yeah. It's funny. When I came down south, and I would say, I'm from Buffalo. And they say, oh, I have friends in New York City. And I'm like, Cleveland's closer.
Yeah.
Right? Like Toronto's just right across the street, basically. New York City is a 6-hour drive.
Mm-hmm. That's why it seems like you guys are in another state.
I like it. You guys. It's all good. So, well, it's so good to meet you. Dr. Torrey, right?
Yes, Dr. Torrey.
I got to say, the sound of business, right? Like, There's a lot of companies out there, and I guess I'll use that word. They don't have the sound, and it. Mm-hmm. I don't mean sound by like we can hear each other. It's just you don't hear it, you don't feel it. It's just like every other business that's out there. That the names and the, I don't know, the vibrancy, I suppose. Like, I've got your website over here on my left on my iPad. It stands out. It pops. You're talking about like incorporating your love of hip hop into your business. Mm. You are talking about who you are as a person. You are who you are. The pictures that you post, like you're not afraid to talk about like what you believe in.
Mm-hmm.
You're a mom, right? Like all of these things resonate. And I think it's super cool because, you know, I'll go on LinkedIn sometimes, and I was actually just talking to someone. I'll go on LinkedIn, I'll see these posts, and I'm just like, is this for real? Right? Like, do people mean this stuff, or is this just the character that they're playing?
Mm-hmm.
And then what's wild is they'll show up on a Reddit forum called LinkedIn Lunatics, and they're mocking them. And I'm not sitting here saying, hey, we need to mock people for doing that stuff. But I'm like, there's 325,000 members. It's become a meme almost of how people are pretending to be something that maybe that they're not, or that they feel they need to be. But anyway, I go to your website, Dr. Torrey, and I see the sound of business and all those things I just said. Talk to me about that.
I mean, I don't know how to not be myself, you know?
Yeah.
So I always say, like, my audience is meant to find me, and whoever resonates. But I'm just that down-to-earth person who loves to support and be there for people, help people. And I always want to see people grow, whether that's in business, whether that's in, like, you know, life, whether that's in their endeavor, their passion. That's just what I'm big on. So for me, coming up with the sound of business is just so funny that came from my book, my first book. Mm. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to take this name and go with it and run with it because it has such a flow.
Yeah.
And I'm really big on that, like making sure that everything flows, life flows. Like when I didn't know what lane I was going to be in for my business, whether I wanted to do coaching, whether I wanted to be an author, whether I wanted to be helping kids, like I said, you know what? I'm going to create my own umbrella.
Yeah.
I'm going to create my own lane. I'm going to do that. So it just so happens that the sound of business is like, hey, you flow with how you go. You got the cadence, you got the rhythm, and you just do what you do. And everyone says you go to the beat of your own drum. So yeah, like the sound of business just encompasses me.
So the sound of business, you talked about like coming up with it while you were writing your book, and like through the act of writing that those like words came out onto the page?
I feel like the book itself started off at the sound of business, seeing entrepreneurship through hip hop. That book came from a capstone class I did for my master's. My professor told us we had to write a book on everything that we learned, and what we applied. And I wrote this book, but I love hip hop. So I put the hip hop twist on it, and he read my book and he goes, "Tori, you have to publish this." Mm. So he influenced me to publish, and that's how I became an author. Other than that, this was something I did for a capstone class to graduate, you know?
Yeah.
And from then, it was just like my love of passion, my love of just being present in the business arena, but also being present in the education field too. It just all flowed into one. So now you got the sound of business. Yeah.
Love it. There's this thing, and I would assume you're going to agree with it. You're doing this project. You weren't planning on publishing this thing. It falls into the you never know category, right? Mm-hmm. Like you work on something, you put your heart and soul into that. You never know. And all of a sudden there's this individual out there who believes in it and says you should do something with it. And then you have the audacity and the passion and the whatever to say, screw it, let's publish it, right? Because that's another step beyond that thing. But that definitely falls in for me. Like this, I just made that up in my head. Like you never know. But I do, you know, like having a podcast, you reaching out to saying, hey, let's have a conversation on the podcast. Mm-hmm. I never have this conversation if it's not for this podcast. So that falls into, you never know who you're going to meet and the type of amazing conversations you can have as a result of having something like that. So what was that experience like to say, like, I'm going to publish a book now based off of what?
I mean, you take a leap of faith. Everything you do is like you're going into the uncomfortable, right? So you go into being uncomfortable. You get used to being uncomfortable. Every big change requires you to step out of your comfort zone. Apparently, a teacher of mine, I had seen her, I think, randomly a couple summers ago, and she was my third grade teacher. And she goes, you know, how you doing? How you been? And I was like, I'm gonna take you home. You know, like she was waiting for her cab or something. I'm gonna take you home. Just so happened, she goes, I remember when you wrote this book for me in third grade, and I still have it. And I said, you have a book for me in third grade? Like, I didn't even recall me writing this book. And she goes, yeah. And I'm like, well, you do know I'm a published author now, right? And she goes, what?
Yeah.
It's like, wow, that's full circle. So I didn't even know that that was something I was doing back then. So to see it come to fruition now as an adult, and then, like, you know, it just sparking all my other creative endeavors. Like, I feel like I'm a person that if I put my mind to it, I'll put it down on paper, it's coming to fruition. So it's the same with my daughter. So this is my daughter behind me, right?
Yeah.
Interesting story. After that book, The Sound of Business, I decided I wanted to write a kid's book too. And I called it I'm a Mini Entrepreneur. That was the series. And the little girl in the book, I had a vision of who she would look like and what she would look like. And I published that book in 2020. And then I ended up getting pregnant and my daughter came out looking exactly like my character. So it was funny because literally you just never know how these things do and how these things come into play, come into fruition. And it's like, I think when people are just given that vision or people are given that inspiration or that insight, if they act on it, you'll never know what can come from it. And you may just be surprised like how it could take you down a journey that you never expected, but it can be one of the wildest rides ever. And the most fulfilling rides at that too. So yeah, go for it.
Where are people finding you when, like, where are they? So they come out, like, if let's say they don't know you, because the story you just told of meeting your third grade teacher, giving her a ride home, hearing that story that she's got the book, like then creating your own children's book about a mini entrepreneur, turns out it's going to end up looking like your daughter, which is wild, right? Like, what do you even say to that? And you're coming at this from a, I don't know, like you can feel the vibe, I suppose, of what you're all about. And some people might be like, no, I can't go there right now, right? I got too many things happening. Things aren't working. I can't stop. I can't think about that type of stuff. Where are they finding you in their own journey, typically?
I feel like with people who are, they're on a path, and sometimes when they are in that path of, I have to do things a certain way, I have to get this done because I have to get this outcome. It's a driven sense that they're on. Sometimes it's not for the purpose of their purpose. Sometimes they're doing it to sustain themselves, you know, like they're in survival mode a lot of times. So when you have people who have been in the survival mode for so long and then they're trying to get out of that survival mode, now they're wanting to live their purpose, because being in survival mode all the time, you hit some stalemates and sometimes you're just like, yo, what am I doing next? So I think it's during that time where it's like people come across, you know, you never know who you meet. And during them stalemates or during those times, it's like, I don't know if I can continue doing this or I don't know what my next step is. It's in between that people can really or typically find me in that transition. And I get it because for me, I transitioned out of the education field. I transitioned out of the 9-to-5 and solely on the fact that every time I had a job as a teacher, I can excel at it. I can be great at it. I did not like the school system. Oh my goodness. Because I just didn't like how certain things were. Everyone, they wanted to be one size fit all. And I'm not a one size fit all kind of person. Not even these kids are one size fit all, you know? And I always want to see people to be their brightest light. So, but anytime I had a teaching position, I end up falling ill some way, somehow. And it's like, okay, I'm meant to do something bigger. So this is where I'm getting stopped here. And I was in that in between. I had a serious injury from a car accident. I had to get back surgery. So I couldn't work for like 3 months. And I started my business while I was home.
Wow.
Yeah. On bed rest.
Yeah.
And then from then it was like, hey, that was my pivot. That was my transition. Like, what am I going to do? So I feel like anybody who's in that would be that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Was there a moment when you're at home and you're on bed rest? Or was it a culmination of many moments where you're like building up that courage? You already probably knew this in many ways, but you didn't have maybe that final push and maybe this was it. Was there, did you wake up one day? Were you lying in bed? Like, how did that feel? Were you journaling? Like, what happened?
So I would say you do have those lead up moments and everyone has those lead up moments. It's just sometimes you don't act on those lead up moments. Sometimes it's like, you know what? I could do this a little bit longer. You know, you push it off. You push it off. It's the fear of it, the fear of the unknown. You keep pushing it off. But I feel like it was in that moment where now I had to be still. I couldn't move. Like, I had to literally be still. I was stuck in my thoughts. And that was like, okay, how am I going to make this work for me with my skills? With the things that I love, and how am I going to get this going? And because I already had this book out from 2018, I was like, you know what? Okay, The Sound of Business. That's the name of my company, and we're going to run with that. And from there, it was just like, you know, just as the ideas came out, I put them down on some paper. As those feelings came, I became very more aware of my feelings. And me becoming aware of those and aware of my cues, it was like, okay, I started to listen to those cues instead of being fearful, just started to listen to those and be like, hey, this is something I need to act on.
Yeah.
And you just go for it.
And you did it.
Mm-hmm.
Those feelings you talk about, I mean, you hear it in therapy, right? Like sometimes we don't know how we're feeling when something happens. I know I've experienced that in the past. You're like, well, how would you explain this situation, right? Mm-hmm. How would I talk to my wife who is has autoimmune diseases, right? And all that type of stuff. It's like, okay, so how do I talk about that? How do I feel about that? And that was very difficult for me to think through how I felt. And then you can go into a freeze mode, right? Mm-hmm. Very easily. And then you just block out all the feelings and you're really not sure. So you really have to think through it. And it sounds like that's what you were doing because you were having these feelings, but somehow because the day had to keep going, you had to do other things, right? You got students, you got your day afterwards, right? Like you, maybe you weren't allowing yourself, but then you got to sit and work at it because this isn't, and I think that's true, right? You have these moments along the way, but it builds, right? Yeah. And then you have to allow for it. It's like, if you're trying to work at something, it takes time, it takes effort, it takes thought, it takes like going maybe, and I'm not saying to a dark place, but it could, right? Mm-hmm. Like to get through, and maybe for you, it was lying in that bed. And I would imagine because of what you've done and that proof, a lot of people say, well, I got to go to work. I got to do the 9-to-5. This is what I'm called to do. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is why I have to do it. I have to pay these bills. And to showcase or proof of concept, or like those are some business words, but like for other people to see it and they could say, well, if Tori can do it and Tori can help me along that path to do it, it's not going to happen overnight, right? Like that's what you're helping. I would imagine you're helping people to do in many different levels.
Right. It's not an overnight process. It's not an overnight success type of thing. There are definitely moments where even, you know, you go down these paths, you take a, you're betting on yourself, you know, instead of betting on other people, you bet on yourself. So when you bet on yourself, of course, do you have that self-doubt that kicks in, that imposter syndrome that kicks in? You have all these emotions that maybe you feel like you're not good enough to do this, or like, damn, how am I going to keep the lights on? Those are all questions that happen. Like, and those are questions I've sat in at one point, you know, like, how am I going to sustain? Like, I'm so used to having this check regular come in and I'm able to pay this and go about here. But you make these sacrifices for yourself and for your growth. And some of those sacrifices are hard. Like, you have to really remove yourself from a lot of things and just focus. And not everything is always a steady climb up. Entrepreneurship is a...
Oh, yeah.
It's a roller coaster. Like...
Yeah.
It's a roller coaster. It's never just a steady climb up. So sometimes it's like, you can have a really high moment and you're like, okay, I'm doing it. And you have a low moment. That's like, well, gosh.
Yeah. What am I doing?
Like, what am I doing? Like, so you always have to just continue to believe in yourself. And I feel like that was my biggest thing. And I also had some really great support systems too. Like, a lot of people may not have that support system, but you can create that support system. It's never just about the people that you or the family you were born into. It's also about the family you create and the people you surround yourself with. I have a lot of friends that turned into family, and I can count on them on my hand. My family is real strong and close-knit. So, I mean, I was blessed in that way. But for those who don't have it, you bet on yourself, but then you create the family. You create your environment. And when you create that environment that's going to help sustain you, you're able to sustain more and push through more, even when you have those down moments, because those happen.
Yeah. You are that support person for that individual that's looking for it.
Yeah.
This podcast is that type of thing. And there's others, and there's books, and there's, sometimes you don't even need to meet those people. They can be there. It could be an audiobook, podcast, but there's people out there as well, because I've always felt that, like, we all can think, man, I'm going through this. Mm-hmm. Then you're all of a sudden isolating that you're the only one going through it. And I guarantee you, like, there's always someone else going through it, right? And there's probably a lot of other people going through it. And then there's connectors, right? You're the connector too, because I'm sure if you've got this individual, well, you can introduce them to these individuals. And now all of a sudden, it's a group and not an individual, right? So I think that's super important. And you're starting them young, right? Because you're talking about your daughter, you're talking about mini entrepreneur. So you obviously see something, especially this day and age, right? This day and age more than ever, where like kids can, you know, college comes up when they get a little bit older. Well, what does college mean? College isn't what it used to be, let's say, and the cost is so extreme or what have you. But like, there's kids on YouTube, there's kids doing, or kids just selling yo-yos or lemonade at the street corner. Like, there's ways to do that now, and there's ways to market that business. So they are mini entrepreneurs. I mean, look at college sports. I mean, they have the NIL now, and right? Mm-hmm. And so they all become entrepreneurs as 18-year-olds if they want. It doesn't mean they have to be the top football player in the country. They could be playing field hockey or swimming or what have you, but it goes even earlier. So you obviously believe, like, the earlier you can start with this, I mean, you're creating content for those individuals, right? For children. So, like, I want to stay there for a little bit and talk about, like, the mini entrepreneurs.
So I'm big on representation, and it's always good for kids to see themselves in what they're doing, or themselves in books. And I feel like for the mini entrepreneur, like, you know, with my book in particular, it's the gift that keeps on giving, because I am talking about real life stories. I am talking about real life people. And then at the back of the book, I can connect them, or I will connect them with the person that we're talking about, so that way they can actually go support or chat with those people. And it's no different than what we used to do when we used to have our lemonade stands.
Yeah.
It's just on a grander scale, you know?
Right.
And you foster these ideas, you foster these passions into our kids, that they can do whatever they put their mind to. And that's ideally what it is. Like, whatever you put your mind to, you can do. You can accomplish this. It is nothing that is out of this world that you can't accomplish. And if you don't limit their mindset on that, then they're able to be like, okay, I can achieve these things, and I just have to work hard at doing it. And sometimes it's working hard. Sometimes it's putting a lot of, you know, practice behind it. But then too, it's also about who you know and the areas that you're in too. Because if you have friends around them as well, who their friends at this point and when they're younger, their friends are bigger influences than their parents a lot of times. So if you have friends who want to do these amazing things too, or have these great ideas, then that's even better to foster. And I feel like every kid should keep their imagination. I'm a big kid at heart.
Yeah.
So my imagination runs wild.
Yeah.
I will never want to take an imagination from a kid, you know?
Yeah.
Your imagination creates your reality majority of the time. And if you can envision it, you can make it happen. It's, you were able to see it with yourself in it for a reason.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of how you're going to get there.
Yeah.
So with the mini entrepreneur, that's the goal. Just foster their imagination, foster their tools.
And keep it, right? Because one of the things that we hear about, or we all lived it, right? You draw a picture, you get up in front of the class and you talk, you build a project, you do whatever the thing is that you're doing. And you do that and you do not care. And then all of a sudden, someone laughs at it. Someone questions it. And it might not even be someone in the classroom. It could be a teacher. It could be a parent. It could be society. It could just be what you're supposed to be doing. Oh, you're too old for that. You should move on to something else. Cause I agree with you. I mean, entrepreneurs, so often I think it's like, I look behind me like this paint, that's my mom is an artist. And you can continue to be an artist for your whole life. My grandmother was an artist, right? So like that's instilled in me to be creative. But I think somewhere along the lines, like you have to possibly refine it for maybe our generation or recent generations. And so it's important, I think, for kids to have this, to say they don't have to give it up. You could just keep going down that path and be creative and be that. An entrepreneur in many ways is an artist because you're creating something from scratch that no one's ever done before. Maybe it's an innovator, whatever that thing is, whatever that word is, like just be who you are. And I think that's super important. So how, you know, because they're going to be told no, right? Let's just be honest. Like kids aren't going to go to school. They're going to get bullied. They're going to be made fun of. There's just no way around it. And maybe that's what helps build us to who we are. But how do we continue to do it? I mean, it's like conversations like this, writing more books, sharing stories, right? Proof of concept, all that stuff. Like, what do you think is something that we, that anybody who's listening or any of yourself or myself could do to instill more and more creativity for kids, more mini entrepreneurs?
So yeah, my business partner and I, we have a program where we are teaching entrepreneurship, teaching financial literacy, urban gardening, veterinary medicine literacy, but also mindfulness and meditation, right? And our big thing is social emotional learning. So with that, I feel like if we're talking about keeping or fostering in kids their imagination, it's also about being self-aware. Because during this time, a lot of kids are dealing, like you said, with the bullying. They're dealing with like different things in life that is probably taking them off a path of, hey, I may not be good enough with this, or someone made fun of me and they don't know how to reassess that, or, you know, look at that from a different frame. It's more they feel it's attack on them, but not knowing that sometimes that kid may be hurting and they probably are hearing that from home too. So they're just repeating it back to them. So it's a matter of just, I would say, pouring into those kids, giving those kids those tools to be self-aware, those tools to self-assess, to self-empower, because then now it's like, hey, I know that this is not a me thing. This is probably what they're going through. I can hold compassion there, but I can keep a distance. But at the same time, if this is what I love to do, I'm going to continue to do it. And I'm going to trust that my gifts are going to be welcomed where they're meant to be. So not everyone is meant to like their stuff, and they have to be okay with that. And I think if we just foster that in our kids and foster that in adults too, because it goes both ways. A lot of times when adults are doing it, you know, their inner child is sitting there like, their inner child probably has been attacked and they haven't healed those things yet. But it's like just fostering that in everyone, that, hey, not everyone is meant to gravitate towards you. Not everyone is meant to be your audience, and that's okay. But knowing that your audience is out there, those people who love your work or really cherish your work is out there. And once you find them, as I say, it's up. Like, there's no going back from that. You find your tribe and that's it. It continues to grow.
Yeah. Yeah. The negativity that's out there, I think you're right, because it's not just for kids. It's for adults. Like, I think a lot of times adults put it on the children to say, it's kids that are going through it. They're the ones that are addicted to social media. They're the one, and it's not. And I think a lot of the time could present itself in children because they're just watching the adults, right? They just see stuff. Like, I hear my kids say stuff and they'll bring up stuff from the past of like what someone else was doing or how that person, I'm like, man, they are so aware of what's happening. And that's like, you better listen and think about what you're saying when you're around them, because they don't forget anything. They pick it up and then that goes with them. And so that's enormous. And I think, so it's huge, right? Your surroundings, not only for adults, but obviously for children. And, you know, unfortunately, not all children have they don't have the same access. They don't have the same resources. They might not have two parents in their household. They might not have whatever that thing might be that could prevent someone. It's like, that's why I think it's so important. That's why I want to have a show like this, right? Mm-hmm. So we can have a conversation. And I think this can be heard by someone at some time. It doesn't have to be tomorrow. It might be in 10 years. I don't know. But I think that what you're saying will resonate. And if it's just with one person, like, I think that's what you're doing, right? Like, you're doing many big things, but if you can get across, I just feel that, right? If you can get across to one person, and maybe it's a kid, and maybe it's a 13-year-old that's just like trying to figure some stuff out, and they hear you and they're like, yeah, I got this, yeah. You know, or whatever that might be. And they might not know it at that moment, right? It's not like that epiphany we were talking about before, mm-hmm. but it's cumulative, mm-hmm. right?
And it's a timeless message because it can, like you said, it can go on the span of any time. Like, someone could listen to this and they feel like this is empowerment for them to move forward. Someone could hear this when they're at their lowest yeah. point. A kid can hear this and be like, oh my gosh, mom, I want to write a book. Or, oh my gosh, mom, I want to, you know, do a lemonade stand. Yeah. You never know. It's all just from hearing and listening. But I mean, yeah, I feel like I always say I don't want to influence, I want to inspire. And at the end of the day, if I can just touch one person and change, or, you know, help change the perspective or mindset of one person, if I can be a guiding light to one person, that's one person out there in that world who can probably change masses. And if I was able to do that and help in that, be an instrument in that, then I did my part. I left my mark where I needed to leave my mark. It doesn't matter if one or a thousand, it doesn't matter if it's millions of people, that one person could change the world. So if it's one person at a time, then it's one person at a time. And I'm totally okay with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, you changed their world, right? So like, that's big. Talk to me, human and organizational psychology.
Yeah.
Explain that so we can better understand it, because it's going to relate back to a lot of the things I think you've been talking about. So.
Okay. So I got my master's in industrial organizational psychology. So that's the IO, real businessy, real in the field,
like, yeah.
you know, occupational health, the whole bit there. Human and organizational mm-hmm. psychology, it's a business psych. So I wanted to be able to translate the human mind, the human emotions, the human behaviors, and with business. Not everybody is a machine. Not every machine runs the same way. Mm-hmm. Different things affect different people, and that's how their businesses run, right? But then also you have to pay attention to the people who are inside your business as well. The same way that you focus on your external customers, who are the people that are buying your product or your services, you have internal customers, and your internal customers are the people that is helping you build your business, right?
Yeah.
So for me, I wanted to do human and organizational psychology because I wanted to take it up that notch. I always felt like the people in the business always got overlooked, and I never cared for that because the hierarchy, they always say it's needed. But at the same time, especially with the people that I work with, I don't say that I have employees. I work with people. Everyone has a niche that they are so good at that I'm not great at. And every niche and every idea helps build the business bigger. And when you're able to now view everyone as an asset, view their gifts and their tools as literally a helping hand and you're the framework and brickwork for your business, you go further with people. You can go faster by yourself, but you go further with a group, right?
Yeah.
It's that same mindset.
Okay.
So in human organizational psychology, yeah, I love the organizational part. My focus was on organizational leadership, clearly. But I mean, it's about having that mindset. Like, I feel like I'm a transformational leader, if anything. I don't want to just see the people that I work with stay at their spot. I want to see them transform too. Like, if I'm transforming and you're helping me transform just by being a part of my mission or being a part of what I'm doing, then in turn, I'm going to help you transform too. What do you want to do? Because ideally, not everyone doesn't want to be in this rat race.
No.
Other people want to, you know, have those foundations. And sometimes they need that helping hand to get them there or, you know, those tools. And I mean, there's so many sayings, like, you either can give the person the fish and they'll keep coming back to you for the fish, or you can teach them how to fish so that way they can go do it themselves. And a lot of people don't like to teach people how to fish because they still want them to be relied on them.
Right.
I'd rather teach you how to fish. You may come back with a bigger fish than mine and be like, hey, you want to share this? You know, you need help. Like, yeah. I use this bait. Did you use this bait? Because now we're uplifting each other. It's balancing that out. And it's always room for growth. So, yeah, human organizational psychology, the business psych of things, it's not just business for me. It's the mind. It's the person. So I like to use that. And I feel like with that background, it just kind of pushed me more of understanding what I wanted to do and how I wanted to do it.
Yeah. When I started this show some years ago, it has perspectives in it. I was always interested in other people's perspectives and knowing that I don't have all the answers. Mm-hmm. And it might be like I said, it might be that 13-year-old that has this answer. It might be an intern. It might be the person who's been here a year. It might be the person that worked at a bank for 15 years comes over and brings a different set of perspectives to it. And I think allowing that them and their talents, which they have, and their talents, I don't know what they are, but they have talents, right? They have something. They bring something unique to the table. Everybody does. If we allow that, because I always disliked, if you work at a company, I don't care what, if you're washing cars, if you're a waiter, or if you're, I don't know, you're in a business and you're doing finance, right? Or you're doing sales, to be treated as a number. And I think that's where we lose people, because at some point they wake up one day and they're like, what am I even doing? Right? Like, okay, maybe I've made money. Maybe I've traveled. Maybe I've done these things, but I don't, it might even have to be a purpose. But, and there could be underlying things, or it doesn't have to necessarily be a meaning, but you're maybe just like not satisfied with where that is. And I think there's just so much that can come, like you're saying, and having someone like you help them get to those places faster, as opposed to waking up that one day and being like, but that doesn't mean it's going to be easy or all that stuff, you know? And when I was building the business, the numerous times, like the thing I always want is like, I just don't want someone to come here and just like make it happen for the business. Hey, that's great. But imagine if that individual came from the bank and was just tired of the whole system. They hated it. We have an insurance brokerage company too. It's a different business that we have. What if they came here, worked at the insurance business, learned a ton? And what if that was the leverage they needed to go work, and they wanted to work for a very large company for whatever reason, because that's just what they liked, but they didn't want to be in the bank world. They wanted to be, say, in the insurance world, right? Well, what if the job here could elevate them to that place? Mm-hmm. And then you watch that happen, and maybe they leave, and it's like, they didn't leave you. It's their story, not your story. And I love that. And those people I'm still friends with, we grab coffee or a beer together, we hang out, we text. That, I think, is more important than just having someone wear them out, grind them to the bone, and then spit them out in the next one. Like, that's just, at some point, I think people, that's where regret comes in. Like, why did I treat people that way? Mm-hmm. I think, or they just totally unaware.
Right. And I feel like even with that, like, you never want to see someone at the same space. Like, I feel like if you are sitting at the same space and you never got that opportunity to even like excel, or the person that you work for never gave you the opportunity to like move up, it's like they always see you just right here. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that was my thing with the education system. Like, they looked at kids like a number. And even in college, they look at you like by your ID number in large classes, yeah, the 300 yeah. lectures, and it's like 300 students in there. The teacher only knows you by your number. And the only time they're going to really know you is if you go to after work or after class hours.
Yep.
That's the same thing in big companies sometimes. It's like you have to put in that extra work. But I mean, I feel like yeah. if you are able to find a company that you can, or even a person, not even just company, but if you're able to find a person that you can resonate with, and then you can be like, hey, can you mentor me? I'm all down for a mentor. Like, I'm a student yeah. in my own right. Like, I love to learn. So I'm yeah. never going to always be a teacher. I'm always a student too. Sometimes my students become my teachers. And it's like, shoot, my daughter is my biggest teacher. My daughter is my biggest yeah. teacher, you know? And it goes yeah. back into that saying, like, you end up raising your kids. Like, your kids end up raising your parents. Like, that. Like, yeah, my parents are getting older, so yeah. now I'm helping out there, and my brothers help out there, but my daughter's teaching me, too. She's my teacher right now. Like, I'm learning a whole bunch of different things I didn't know I needed or didn't know I needed to learn. Just even different talents I didn't know I had or tapped into until she came into this world. And it's just like, sometimes it's those people that bring that extra oomph out of you.
Yeah.
And then once you see that, it's like, oh, that's a great value added. So you end up fostering those relationships And like you said, I go eat coffee afterwards, or I'm still with friends from, not friends, but coworkers from years ago. Like, hey, how you doing? Yeah. How's life? How's this? How's that? It's always a good rapport to see and a good rapport to have, because it's that lifelong camaraderie where it's like, hey, I remember when we were back here. I remember when we were both at this point.
Yeah.
Now look at where we're at now. We're here. It's like, oh man.
Yeah.
When you look able to look back and see how much you've grown, it just doesn't make you feel good. But then seeing how someone else has grown too, it fills my cup. So I'm totally for that with you. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah.
You love to travel, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
So travel's amazing, right? Because it gets you outside of your world, you experience new things, you meet new people, you see new cultures, all that stuff. I do think there's a thing with travel where you can be in your city. I mean, you're in the New York City area. You could go probably to a new spot every day and you still wouldn't hit all the same spots. So you can still travel almost in a way, putting yourself outside of your comfort zone in your own city. But then I'll go to the other pack. You're also a writer. Sounds like you're a reader. And not everyone can travel. And there could be for different reasons. Why? It could be financially related, or it could just be they don't have the time, or they don't like to, or they don't like the crowds or the traffic or whatever. Are there other ways that you think, like, and I bring up reading, is there something there for kids and adults to say, yeah, maybe you don't get to go on that vacation, and you hear people and you go on Instagram and you see that they went to these different places and you might feel like, man, I didn't get to do that, or I wish I could do that, or whatever, you know, and then it's like brings them down a little bit. But you see where I'm going with it, because I see you're shaking your head when it comes to reading and getting outside of yourself maybe a little bit. But yeah, tell me what you're thinking.
I mean, you could get lost in a book. A book, especially a well-written book. Because some books is like, this is lacking a little bit of information, you know? Sometimes, you know, you have those books where it's like, even from the books that turn into the movies, and then the people who really read those books, they're like, ah, the book was so much better because it had so much more detail, you know? It's that. Like, you can get lost in books because the way the authors are describing it, you can tell that from their description, you could just tell how much they really felt about this topic that they're talking about. You can literally be like, especially it goes back to your imagination. If a book is so vibrant that your imagination, as if you are watching a movie as you read, that is an excellent book. So books can be a great escape for people, but also movies. Movies can be a great escape too. Like Avatar is colorful, is everything, right? Colorful, is bright. Yeah. It's imaginative, these tall, giant blue people. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's so many, many things. And it's like with the kids, you put them in front of the TV or you put them in front of something, the colors attract kids the most.
Mm.
It's the same thing with adults, but not just with movies, with books, with food. There's some people who are literally are exploring different cultures through food. The foodies love the food, but then it's like they can eat it and they get all the feels. Like,
yeah.
I've seen my dad do the happy dance. I've seen like my business partner, she do a happy dance because they're foodies, you know? And it's like, you can tell, it's like they get that remembrance of probably something from when they were younger. They're remembering a time frame back then, or they seen something on TV and it's like, oh, I wanted to try it. And this looks just like that.
Yeah.
And it sparks that memory, or it sparks that thought process or that imagination. It just ties it back into that. Like, I feel like there's so many different outlets that you can do, and it just depends on what it is that makes you tick.
Yeah.
So for me, it may be a book. It may be a movie. For someone else, it may be food. Someone else, it may be travel.
Yeah.
But there's so many different avenues. It's just a matter of what you tap into. And that's just you being aware of yourself and letting your imagination run wild. So yeah.
Yeah. You said all the feels. You started it that way. And that's here, and that's no different. And that's what these conversations are. I feel like that, and to do it, to have a conversation with someone like you've never met and that you just sort of interacted with before, and to learn all this stuff, I'm here for it. So, Tori, where do people learn about you? How do they connect with you? How do they work with you? Tell us all that.
Well, if they want to connect with me on Instagram, because I'm there, you see a lot of my mommy moments, and you definitely will see my journey up to on my Instagram. That's at always_DrDr, Tori, TORII. And then if you want to go on my website and learn more about my initiatives, but also even want to book a discovery call with me For transformational life and business coaching, you can go to thesoundofbusiness.org and my services page, you'll see it right at the top. I'm available. I'm here and I'm just here to see people grow. So you can connect with me there on my social media. I'm on LinkedIn, but LinkedIn is LinkedIn. Like,
yeah. Let's be real.
LinkedIn
right?
is LinkedIn. Like, you know, yeah. I feel like LinkedIn was so business-like when I first started using it. So I haven't gotten into that feel of putting the personal and stuff on it. But for me, just me as me, because I'm always going to show up like that.
Yep.
Instagram, my website.
Best you can do.
I'm there. And hey, you may have a great connection, a great coach, a great mentor. Even sometimes, you know, just a nice comrade to have in this world of everything.
Craziness.
It's the world of everything.
It's good.
But yeah, it's there.
It is everything because it's crazy, but it's also this too, where you can have these types of conversations.
Yeah.
So Tori, I appreciate it. I really enjoyed this. It's so good to connect and obviously stay in touch. So thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate you for this platform. Like, you're awesome. Okay. You're awesome in self. This platform is awesome. Thank you for even having this conversation. Thank you for this opportunity. And yes, we definitely got to connect, stay connected. Like,
yeah.
I mean, shoot, we can have more conversations because there's a ton of things that we could talk about. These people need to know.
Oh, yeah. We go down the rabbit hole, right? Yeah. That's it.